And it's good to be with you this Saturday morning. I had a lady approach me at the health food store maybe, 2 weeks ago. And she asked me after I gave a little talk about a daughter. And I started to think about it. You know how the mind works. You know, you can only cover so much information. But I kind of thought about it just for a little bit afterwards. And I said, okay, let me share something with you. There is a very unique condition among women. It's not in men. It's called PCOS. That stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. And as I began to read a little bit more about it, I found out very quickly, you don't have this anywhere in the animal kingdom. It's not found in deer. You don't find it in rabbits. PCOS is not found in cows or horses necessarily. But it seems to be exclusive just to the human female. And if you don't know what PCOS is, let me kind of give you a description. If a young lady has, let's just say she has a major issue, and I'll just try to break it down very simply. She's more prone to blemishes or acne. She may have hair growing in locations that typically would not be suitable for a female to have hair grow. And so if it's around the chest area, she may notice that she has to pluck a dark, coarse hair from the chest area. Or if it's from the midline somewhere. But anyway, it would almost be like a dark whisker that you would see in a man's beard, if that kind of gives you a mental image right there. The other thing is, it's very common for them to be overweight, and they're more prone to acne or blemishes. Because these cysts that form on the ovaries, the ones that want to persist, sometimes they can take on a life of their own, and they can start generating androgens like testosterone. And in women, that's something that can kind of relate to hair loss or hair growth. Anyway, here's a study right here that I find very interesting. Okay, now this topic is about one particular vitamin that acts more like a hormone than it does a vitamin. It's called vitamin D3. I think vitamin D3 has been all the rage in the news these days. Even if you live under a rock, you've probably heard about vitamin D3. Especially if you're like a nurse in a hospital, you probably come across all sorts of news feeds and reports that vitamin D is so beneficial to the human condition. If you want to have amazingly great health, why don't we try just a very simple concept? Give your body exactly what it needs so it can be strong and radiant. So wherever you are right now, and of course I'm looking outside, it's still dark. I'm assuming that if you're listening to me, you're probably laying back in your bed. But I want you to ask yourself a question. Is there anything that I'm lacking that if I had it, everything would be okay with me? And so, as an example, what if you do not have enough vitamin D3 to do everything that God has designed it to do for you? Well, you know what that means? That means there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff in your body that's left undone, meaning hormones will not be secreted properly. In this situation right here, maybe the health of the ovaries will not be as healthy as they need to be, because what is your body supposed to do? It's saying basically, I'll do exactly what you want, but you've got to give me what I need. And what I need is vitamin D3. So there's one particular study I came across right here. Now, I'm not telling you this is the one that I like the best, but it's the one that I found. They found vitamin D3 was highly prevalent among 13 women in this one study that were diagnosed with PCOS. That's polycystic ovarian syndrome. And so what do they do to counter that? Well, these 13 women, well, here's what they did. They recommended 1,500 milligrams of calcium per day as a supplement. I'm assuming this is in addition to the calcium they would get from the food that they eat. So if they ate salmon or they had kale, well, that's rich in calcium. If they snacked on a piece of Swiss cheese, well, that's high in calcium too. But they also gave these women 50,000 units of vitamin D2. Now, you realize D2 is not the same as D3. D3 is a bit more straight on and direct as to what the body needs. D2, well, it's just a technology 20 years ago when they did the study. So they gave them D2 once a week. And they wanted to see if it would normalize menstruation or promote fertility, because it's very common when a woman has PCOS, she doesn't have the best expression of her female reproductive cycle, and she may not be as fertile as she'd like to be. And so in this study, they had 9 of 9 women with PCOS-related menstrual irregularities. They were completely fine within 3 months. And of course, that's the other part of the study I want you to focus your energy on. It takes time to replenish and to restore the function of the body. So if you've had some issue in your life, it takes time sometimes to heal. Sometimes healing can take place pretty quick. But with vitamin D3, it may take a little while to kind of replenish your reserves. And now this is just my opinion, but vitamin D3 is one of those nutrients that you kind of have to fill up the gas tank before it seems to work as well as it needs to. So let's just say your gas tank is just a hair above empty. You know, you might be running on fumes, or you might have enough gas to drive, you know, a mile to the gas station. That you can do. But you don't have enough to make a trip to Dallas and back, or to Houston. No, you don't. But vitamin D3, in my mind, it seems to work that way. It does its very best work when your body has a full gas tank of it. Okay, that's my analogy. Let me tell you what I came across right here. Of course, you know as well as I do from being very interested in health. I mean, I'm not the only one that feels this way. There's many people out there. They love health. And sometimes when I come across those people, I think, you know what? I think the reason they love health is because they want to tap into caring for others. Because people that love health, especially people that love natural remedies, they want to share whatever they know with others so they can lift people up and so they can encourage them. Well, this article comes from the Journal of Steroid Biochemistry and Molecular Biology. No, I do not have a subscription to that. You may not know this or realize it, but if I tried to get a subscription for that journal, it will only set me back about $700 for four journals would come in the mail, one brand new each corner. So no, I don't, a quarter, so I don't mind just reading the abstracts. So August 29th, 2020, so that's about as fresh as you can get, folks. So in this Journal of Steroid Biochemistry and Molecular Biology, I mean, it just boggles the mind. Let me tell you what it said. The study that they reported on, the study involved 76 hospitalized patients that were COVID-19 positive, and they all had symptoms of the coronavirus infection, such as they had a dry cough. They were all had or experienced shortness of breath, fever, and diarrhea. And so those are all things that are pretty unpleasant. Now, one thing they didn't mention, this which would be true, is just gut-wrenching exhaustion. You know, maybe over the last 6 or 7 months, what if you had like a week in your life that you were just bone weary fatigued, and it was all you could do to make it through the day and to show up at work? Well, for all I know, maybe you've had some version of the coronavirus or the COVID-19, and that was the way that it hit you. Believe me, I'm most thankful you did not have to go to the emergency room or in intensive care. Now, in this study, let me just tell you what the chart says right here. They had these 76 people that were admitted to the hospital because they were sick. And they broke them into two groups. 50 of the 76, I don't know who made the decision on this, but they gave them a form of vitamin D called calcifediol. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But that's the prescription form. You cannot find this on the shelf. So if you go to a health food store today and say, I heard Dr. Morgan this morning talk about calcifediol, you're not going to find it. It's by prescription only. And yes, it works faster than vitamin D3, which is called cholecalciferol. And so vitamin D3, that's what you and I have access to. But in this study, they used vitamin D as the calcifediol. Anyway, but 50 of them got the vitamin D. And what they found was that when they entered the hospital with all these issues related to the COVID-19, they only had one out of 50 that were given the vitamin D, only one, had to be admitted to the intensive care. Now, that's interesting. Now, the other one, the other group, you may not find this quite as interesting, but to me, it's very, very intriguing. And so the ones that they chose not to give vitamin D to, the number was 26 instead of 50 that were given vitamin D. And so out of the 26 that weren't given vitamin D, guess how many were admitted to intensive care? Well, 50% of them, okay? You know how many were admitted to intensive care that had vitamin D as a treatment? They had one. That's 2% of the group. Man, that's incredible. And so those that weren't given vitamin D, well, half of them had to go to ICU. I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, Dr. Morgan, I don't want to go to the emergency room. I don't want to go to the hospital unless it's life-threatening. No, you don't. Because quite often, you know as well as I do, if you go to the ER when you're sick, that's also the location and place where you may be in contact with the dirtiest dirty germs of all time. That's not a slam to anybody. That's just the way it is. You show up at the hospital, well, guess what? That's where sick people go. I know you've heard me say this before, but you really can't afford to be really, really sick. You just can't. The average person cannot. That's why I have a program like this to try to encourage you ways that you can maintain the integrity of your health and be very, very strong. So 26 people were not given vitamin D. Half of them had to be admitted to the ICU. Well, out of those, you know how many died? Two. Two out of 26. That's bad. I hate that with all my heart, but that's just the way it is. And so let me share a different angle on this also. Now, this is what's been kind of hammered in a lot of the research. There is a thing called a cytokine storm, and usually that's what's responsible for causing a person to go in this downward deleterious spiral of just horrible death. Well, guess what? There is a chemical that's produced by your body that's called bradykinin. It's a naturally internally produced blood vessel dilator, which helps control blood pressure. And so what that means is you get way too much of it, it's going to cause contraction of your bronchus or your bronchial tree. I don't know about you, but that is low on my list of what I want to experience today. I don't want to experience tightness of the chest or difficulty breathing. I had a woman telling me this week, she said, Dr. Morgan, I just cannot get air. It's a real struggle. Well, one of the things you might think of is your immune system or your body is overexpressing or over-releasing this compound called bradykinin. Well, guess what? Vitamin D3 is known to inhibit the buildup of bradykinin. Well, maybe that's why when they gave vitamin D3 to these people that were admitted to the hospital, they did not need to go to the ICU. They were released very, very quickly. And so I had a nurse practitioner tell me this week, and I thought it was very intriguing. She said one of the doctors that she works with that runs the ER is very, very open-minded. He's willing to give injectable vitamins. He's willing to give IVs of nutrients. And I thought to myself, man, this is great. I like the guy already. Anyway, let me share this with you right here. This is the follow-up from the study I just read about the 50 people, the COVID-19 patients, who didn't require hospital admission. I mean, didn't require admission to the intensive care unit. But in the follow-up study, they said, what would this have saved Medicare just by giving vitamin D3 to these 50 COVID-19 patients? Well, you want to know what the number is? It's exactly $1.27 million. I don't know about you, but that seemed like a pretty big chunk of change to me. Could you imagine what it would be like if a hospital were to read this study and say, oh my goodness, we just saved Medicare $1,274. All of a sudden, the chief of staff orders all ER doctors to prescribe vitamin D injections to everyone that admits to the hospital with COVID-19. Isn't that interesting? You know, I have talked to so many people that are terrified to leave their homes. It's just so hard to believe. Let me read this to you right here. Okay. I mean, this is just phenomenal right here. This is still about vitamin D3, but I want you just to please hear what I'm saying right here. It's just a testament to what happens to the body when you give it what it really needs. Now, this is a slightly different change of the topic, but this is dealing with people that have chronic, persistent musculoskeletal pain. I don't know if you realize this, but there's a lot of people that are in pain right now. Oh, my goodness. Talk about people in pain. There's a lot of them. But then again, there's ways to treat it that lead nowhere. You already know what I'm talking about. You can try therapies and treatments that don't do anything to fix the problem. So I want you to listen to this right here. Patients that have non-traumatic persistent musculoskeletal pain, they show an impressively high prevalence of overt vitamin D deficiency. So I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what that means. So I found this study by the name of two researchers, Politnikov and Quigley. And they show that 93% of all their 150 patients, to me, that's plenty of people to test, these 150 patients of theirs that had persistent, non-specific musculoskeletal pain, they were all overtly deficient in vitamin D. A researcher by the name of Masood, he found there was a high prevalence of vitamin D deficiency in children that had limb pain. So what are you thinking? If you have a teenager that's complaining their legs hurt, you might want to pay attention to this. And so what they did was, when they gave them vitamin D supplementation, guess what happened? All of the leg pain ameliorated or went away or disappeared within 3 months. Again, the concept. If you're dealing with something, it may take a while to change the pattern in the body. Now, this is another one that I find very impressive. In this study, the researchers' names were Al Fahari and Al Matari. I'm probably mispronouncing that, sorry. They found vitamin D deficiency in 83% of their 299 patients that had lower back pain. And when they supplemented with 10,000 IUs of vitamin D3 per day, it led to pain reduction in a nearly 100% of the patients after 3 months. I don't know if that study's trying to say they had complete resolution of pain, because in my mind, if you have a problem, you have to restore function. You have to kind of run to the problem. You can't look around it. Have you ever heard the phrase before that the way out is straight through? Well, I believe that's true. That means, for example, if you came to see me as a patient, we have got to run straight toward what the problem is, and we've got to attack it. That means we can't sugarcoat anything. We have to find out what is the area of weakness and what's the chief problem. If a physician does not find out what the major problem is or the main issue, then you can get distracted so easily dealing with secondary issues. Now, there was a time that doctors did not have access to things called CAT scans and MRIs and the lab tests that we have available today in diagnostics. There's so many interesting diagnostic tests out there. I like them all. But that does not replace the doctor's ability to have such a rich skill set that he can size up a patient pretty quick. You know, I had a woman that I saw yesterday, and she came to me saying, Dr. Morgan, I feel like I'm so old, and I shouldn't feel this way. And really, when I look at her, at close to 70, she looked like a very youthful woman. But literally, she's got a problem with AFib that's wrecking her life, and she's got another issue. And so I went through everything with a fine-tooth comb, and at the end of the day, you've got to go with what your findings are if you believe they're factual and true. And so she left the office with a very clear plan of what she was going to do. But you have got to give the body what it needs. And I think that we've become almost to the point where we're all incompetent in figuring that out. Now, there's some people that are very, very curious and very, very clever. And these are the people, oh, I like them. They will do research. They will figure things out. They have these very inquisitive, curious minds. I mean, I kind of think of myself that way. If I don't know the answer to something, I am more than willing to look it up and research it. But maybe that's what you need to be today. You need to learn to be a little bit more curious. So when I read this study about the polycystic ovarian syndrome, and vitamin D was a solution for that, or a partial solution anyway, it's actually giving a component that your body needs. And what about the people with chronic pain? Well, it provided a solution for that also. So I'm starting to believe that maybe vitamin D3 is essential to human existence, and maybe we shouldn't be so scared of the sunshine. Maybe you're walking down a path this morning, getting some exercise, and you see a group of wild hogs in front of you. Maybe you need a little vitamin D3 to give yourself some energy to run away from. I don't know if you've heard this before, but if you kind of break it down very, very simply, you've got to have vitamin D to help counter inflammation. And I believe this is so true, what I'm fixing to tell you, but as a human being on earth ages, well, what is the hallmark of aging? It's we have more and more inflammation. So wherever you are in your health right now, if you've got a problem, and let's just say that you have an organ that's complaining, and this organ, and the woman yesterday was just telling me, she was showing me where she has this chronic pain. Well, I mean, it's not rocket science. Guess where she was pointing to? She was basically drawing a line right over her liver. And so after I went through all the organs in her body, guess what I came up with? It was her liver. So she was right all along. I don't think she liked it when I pushed into her liver. It was quite inflamed. So is that the end of the story? Did we just talk about the liver's inflamed, it's sick, it's toxic, it's been abused? No. We've got to come up with a plan. What is the plan on how are we going to restore this? In her case, I really believe that she was consuming one particular prescription drug that was so toxic to her liver, there's no way it's going to get well if she keeps taking it. But that's my opinion. But you know what? Time is going to tell, right? Let me read this to you real quick. This is a pretty good study. Did you know that death from cardiovascular disease is so much more common during the winter time and in higher latitudes? Yeah. Wouldn't that be consistent with a vitamin D deficiency? Because during the winter time, don't you have less exposure of your skin to sunlight? Yeah. That's how you make vitamin D3. You put your flesh or your skin in contact with the ultraviolet radiation from the sun. It feels good. Do you need too much of it? No. Too much is bad. But too little is just as bad. So this whole idea of being scared of the sunshine, that's a bunch of nonsense. You've got to have sun. You've got to be outdoors in nature. I talk to people that tell me they never want to go outside. Their body clocks are kind of mixed up. They want to stay up till 3 in the morning before they go to bed. Well, that's not right either. Did you know the risk of heart attack is twice as high with those that have vitamin D levels less than 34? So if you go to the doctor and they do a vitamin D3 serum check, very easy to do these days. Everybody does it. If yours is 34 or below, well, guess what? You're twice as likely to have a heart attack. So if you're above 34, maybe I could just say 35 and above. You have your risk of having a heart attack is cut in half. Did you know also that people that have congestive heart failure were recently found to have lower levels of vitamin D3 than people that don't have heart failure? Oh, this is so interesting. And the same is true for diabetes and osteoarthritis. Now, this is one that I find very interesting. One of the most famous studies that's ever been done. Let me go ahead and give out the phone number. I just looked at the clock. I've been talking for almost 24 minutes straight. That's a bit much. I apologize. If you'd like to join me on the radio, this program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. And the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5658. 5257. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines, please. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, reason I was calling is last week I think you were talking about blood pressure. What were some of the vitamins that you were suggesting a person might take to help lower blood pressure?
Well, you know what I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you caught that, but there's a chemical that your body produces called bradykinin. If you produce too much of it, this is what causes vasoconstriction. That means your blood vessels tend to become tight. And that's why I mentioned in this particular study, vitamin D3 plays a very precise role in helping to regulate how your immune system produces bradykinin. So, I was just fixing to read the article about people that have low vitamin D, they have the most hypertension. But what I want to do is I want to give you a sales pitch here.
Okay.
Your body requires these things to regulate and maintain your circulatory system. The vitamin that I'm probably most interested in is going to be called vitamin K2. Have you ever heard of K2 before?
Yes, sir.
And so vitamin K2, if you're going to take vitamin D3, I think it's essential to take a little bit of K2 along with it. But vitamin K2, it's been shown when people eat foods such as Gouda cheese. I actually had some Gouda cheese this week. And so when you eat Gouda cheese, you're actually getting one of the most fabulous sources of vitamin K2 in the universe. It just comes natural in that type of fermented cheese. I'm not sure how they make it over in Holland, but evidently they know what they're doing. But when you eat it, all of a sudden your arteries become more supple and ply and flexible. This is as opposed to arteries that are stiff, that are rigid, that are hard as a rock. You do not want that. And so vitamin D and K2 are very critical to making sure that you have great blood pressure. Number next. A lot of the drugs the doctors prescribe to regulate blood pressure, they're called calcium channel blockers. You may have heard of those before. As a class of drugs.
Yes, sir.
The mineral that is actually a natural calcium channel blocker is called magnesium. And it was about 10 years ago when I read the United States Department of Agricultural survey on soils. Oh, boy. I said, great. This is horrible. I don't think they had one soil sample from across America that showed that any soil had adequate amounts of magnesium. You may have heard that somebody goes to the store to buy a tomato plant, and they wonder why the tomato plant has leaves that are turning yellow. Well, quite often that's a magnesium deficiency. And if they only go and get some Epsom salt and sprinkle this magnesium-rich salt around the tomato plant, all of a sudden the tomato plant produces everything they want it to. So if the tomato plant is lacking magnesium, well, it can't produce, and it doesn't look healthy. So human beings, they need magnesium. I don't even know of anyone listening that doesn't need magnesium. Have you ever heard before that if a woman or a man is craving chocolate, that may be one sign of a magnesium deficiency?
No, sir.
Well, I think it's true. Also, if a person is really, really ticklish, that can be a sign of a magnesium deficiency.
Okay.
In my mind, besides that, there is a compound. It's a B vitamin-like compound that's found in rice bran. And technically, the name is inositol hexaphosphate, but for short, we'll call it IP6. And so IP6 is so, so good at helping to improve the health of the lining of the arteries. And so in my mind, you're only going to be as healthy as the lining of your arteries is. Or are. That's what I meant to say. That wasn't good English, was it? And so sometimes I tell people to take this very cheap, inexpensive vitamin. It just comes from rice bran. It's completely natural. It's called IP6.
Are you saying raspberry?
No, I didn't. If I said raspberry, that's not what I meant to say. If you have high blood pressure and your arteries mm-hmm. are becoming stiffer, which, you know, as the arteries become stiffer, what is the only play that your heart has? It's got to exert stronger force of contraction to push against the resistance of the stiff arteries. And so if you tell me your blood pressure is exactly 120 over 80, probably not going to be a problem. But if your blood pressure is like 185 over 105, then you can just bet your bottom dollar one of the things that we have to address is the arteries in the body are just too rigid and too stiff. And so that's why I was saying IP6, it helps repair the arteries where they can be restored to being very supple and flexible. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Can you get that at a health food store?
Yeah, IP6? You sure can. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, one more point. There is a region in France, and I have forgotten the name of the province or the state or the county. Maybe it's a parish. I don't know. But they have people there that live longer than probably just about anywhere on earth, maybe except Okinawa, Japan. And the researchers, they do not like it when they go and study these people because quite often they eat fatty meats, and everybody knows that fatty meats are bad for you. I mean, who do you think you are eating a roast? But these people, they live very, very long, even though they're eating a lot of cheese, which is high in fat, and they're eating fatty meats. But my point is, they're living a long time, and you can't dispute that. So what are they doing? Well, one thing they're doing is they're getting access to a very particular polyphenol compound called resveratrol. Have you ever heard of that pigment that's found in red wine called resveratrol?
Yes.
And so if somebody were to drink like a glass of red wine, they may actually be doing their cardiovascular system a favor, because they're getting contact with resveratrol. And resveratrol, it plays a role in regulating what's called nitric oxide. So if somebody said, this is a worst-case scenario, they're saying, I'm completely out of breath, my chest hurts, where's my nitroglycerin tablets? Well, if they pop a nitroglycerin under their tongue or in their mouth, they might go, oh, finally I'm getting relief. Because what nitro does, it generates nitric oxide. And nitric oxide helps vasodilate the arterial system. And so resveratrol from red wine, it helps to regulate that also. Now, you can get that in a capsule form, too. Did you know that when people breathe exclusively through their nose at night, they have lower blood pressure than people whose mouths come open and they snore?
No.
So snoring at night is devastating. Yes, occasionally I come across a person that can sleep on their back and they don't move at all. I'm thinking about Martha. And they wake up perfectly fine. But I would say for most people, if you sleep on your back, there's going to be a tendency to lose tone of being able to keep your mouth closed, so you start breathing through your mouth instead of your nose. Well, if you don't breathe through your nose, this is when you have lower levels of nitric oxide. And so nitric oxide, it has so much to do with the health of the arteries. So laying on your side at night and breathing through your nose at night is a pretty good deal. Even if we have to tape your lips closed, that may be a play that we might have to put into action.
Okay.
With duct tape. No, I'm joking about that. They actually make a type of tape that doesn't rip your lips off. But those are the things you're looking at right there. And the other thing, if I can just kind of give you my take on this, I almost always see the greatest results if I can get a person to convert over to eating just meats and vegetables and a little bit of fruit.
Okay.
If I can get a person, and you may have heard me tell this story before, but at the Southwestern Medical School up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, when somebody would donate their body to science and they would say, here, you can have my body to use for medical students training and for medical experiments. And so when a person passes away in the hospital and they harvest their organs, or in this case, they harvest their arteries, they can literally take a carotid artery and they can keep it alive. They can put it basically in a petri dish or a test tube, that's probably an oversimplification, and they can keep that artery alive by giving it an infusion of oxygen and nutrients, and they change the nutrient bath out to get rid of the waste. But they can keep that person's artery that passed away alive forever. And so when they experiment on those living arteries they're keeping in a laboratory, the number one thing that causes plaque and stiffness to build up instantly is when they put too much insulin into the fluid mix. And so when you eat sugar, or I eat sugar, or if we consume a boatload of grain, we are asking for our insulin levels to increase as the body's response to it. And so I think that I'm right about this. The more insulin, the more problems you have. The less insulin, the better your life is. And so the study, here's my takeaway. anything that causes your body to generate more insulin production is going to lead to stiff arteries. You're only going to live as long as your arteries remain supple and pliable and flexible. Do you know which emotion causes the arteries to harden and stiffen? Anger. It has been shown in study after study. The more angry that a person is, the more devastating the effects on their arteries. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody dying of a heart attack that was just really angry and they died very young? I have. Well, I hope these things help you.
They do. And just one more quick question. I am a diabetic, and they do have me on this metformin and glipizide. Is that a form of insulin?
All those drugs, what they do is they try to improve insulin sensitivity, so in a roundabout way, yes.
Ugh.
Well, here's how you reverse it, okay? We can. I'm just cutting to the chase right here. If you'd set your mind like Flint that you were going to eat two meals a day, and you ate both of them within an 8-hour feeding window, you would instantly be better in 3 weeks. You would see changes across the board that you couldn't account for anything else. You would be very happy and pleased. Number two, can I just give you a real-world example?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
A month ago, a woman sent me a text, and I haven't seen her to examine her, but I have done my best to help as many people as I can throughout the day. I can't help everybody, but the ones that come to see me, those I can help. But she said, "I'm so frustrated. I cannot lose weight." And I said, "Okay, what is your weight?" And I want to say that she said 179. If I'm wrong about that, I haven't missed it by more than a pound or two. And she said, "Everything that I'm doing these workout videos in front of my television. This is the way I'm eating." And you know what? Technically, I could tell. Everything she said she was doing was really pretty good. But she said, "I'm at a plateau. This is not budging. My blood sugar's not going down." I said, "Okay, let's just take a step back and let's just retool here and see what we can do." And she said, "You know what? I'm at the point that I'll do anything." And I said, "Really? You'll do anything, will you?" And so here's what I told her. This was a month ago. I said, "You know, you're going to have to reestablish what's called insulin sensitivity." And she said, how do I do that?" I said, "Well, most likely, instead of exercising once a day, you're going to have to exercise twice a day." She said, "Done. I'll do it." And so for her, she would do like her walking / aerobic video in front of her TV in the morning, and she would go for a 3-mile walk in the evening. I think that's what she told me she kind of agreed upon. And so she went from one workout a day to two. And as you think about this, she was telling me that she's worried about her health. So, you know. Number next, I said, "You got to have a feeding window of about 6 to 8 hours, 2 meals a day. She says, "Done." Now, out of the blue the other day, guess what text I got from a woman? I got one from her. And again, I haven't examined her. But we hit enough metrics right, and she told me she's dropped 22 pounds in exactly 33 days. And I think she deserves a big, fat compliment. I mean, that's beautiful. She's done a great job. But she said, "These are the only two things that I changed. I eat 2 meals a day. Both the meals were compressed into a 6 to 8 hour window. That means she was fasting the rest of the time. Sometimes it's a term that's called intermittent fasting. Of course, sleep takes up, you know, some of that, which is good, so you don't have to think about food. But listen, she did great. She is resetting her hormone secretions. And so unless you can get the diabetes, now yours is type 2 diabetes, correct?"
"Yes, sir."
"Would you like it to disappear and go away?"
"Oh, my gosh, yes."
That's kind of like a dumb rhetorical question on my part. Sorry about that. So if you would consider exercising something that you can do twice a day, you've got to reset those insulin receptors. And walking and exercise does more than what the metformin does.
Okay.
"Would you consider eating 2 meals a day?
"Oh, yes, sir."
"I had her eat just meat and vegetables. She had to avoid all grains like they were the Black Death or the plague, because those are the things that explode sugar all over the body." That didn't make sense. What I should say is, when you eat noodles and pasta and bread and flour and just heavy, heavy grains, it's almost like a nuclear bomb is going off in your stomach with sugar. There's just more than what you can handle. And so I know we don't think of as a big plate of spaghetti as being sugar, but technically, that's what it's broken down into. And there's some people that don't think of drinking 12 beers a night as sugar, but, you know, it kind of converts into sugar.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Okay. Does that sound good?
It sounds terrific. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Good job, buddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
In my mind, I am reminded, maybe through text, that a magnesium deficiency is actually quite real and is quite common in those that are diabetic, meaning you are not going to move the needle in a good way unless you deliver your body the very thing it needs, which is called magnesium. Okay, I finally got the button pushed. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. I have a question about what you were talking about, the vitamin D3.
Mm-hmm.
Can it help with GLP-1 and insulin resistance?
Absolutely, yes.
Because I've been suffering from insulin resistance, and I started taking the vitamin D3, then my blood labs came back better. But the doctor wasn't...
Look at you. Well, what did the doctor say? Did he say, tell me exactly what you've done, young lady?
Well, I didn't correlate it till today, but he was mystified as to why my numbers were improving with the insulin resistance. And then your talk today made me think that maybe there was a correlation.
Man, if I broke it down right now, I'd say, okay, magnesium is going to be a critical player here. Vitamin K2 is going to be a critical player. Vitamin D3 is going to be critical. It would be very hard for me to overlook what's called zinc. Zinc plays a most valuable role in how your body processes and deals with insulin and deals with sugar. Very, very critical. And so I don't think that I'm far out in left field here. Let's just give your body the very thing it needs so it can heal and repair itself, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. This is so good. What good feedback.
Thank you very much. I'm going to continue down that same pathway then.
Oh, I'm rooting for you. Let me know how it turns out, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's plenty of time left. 903-586-5257. There's a phone line officially open. I'll get you right in. Going back to what the lady said just for a second, if she's suffering from insulin resistance, if you can set your mind that you're going to start the process of exercising, it may be hard at first, that's what's going to carry you through this. Good morning and welcome to the program. Uh-oh, I think I lost you. Okay, here we go again. All right, I think I have you this time. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Hello, you have reached KBJS 90.3.
I'm sorry. I thought I had the button pushed just right. Evidently, it was the other line kicking over. So if you will call right back, sir, sorry to hang up on you. 903-586-5257. There's a phone line open. I'll get you right in this time. Here we go. Okay, is that better now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dr.
Good morning.
I had a question concerning white blood cell counts and how I could possibly bring that up. I've over a period of time, I've had a lot of blood work, and it's been low. And
well, give me a number.
It's right now it's at 3.6, which I think is a thousandth. It's being measured in.
Well, and the point is, if we could double that to like 6.2, that would be a lot better than where it is at 3.6.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can say this in simplicity. You have to have enough white blood cells to keep your body free of infection and from cancer. It's also the job of the white blood cells to clean up any debris if there's been like a damaged cell or you have a tissue that dies. And so 3.6 is not exactly the number where you want it to be. If I had my way, I would love that number to be 7.5. I think that's kind of like a middle of the road. I think that's reasonable. And so let's talk about the main reasons why your white blood cell count would be low. Now, I know that I'm going to be telling you things that are probably not going to make logical sense, but I just want you to consider what I'm saying. Any time that I see a white blood cell count below 5, I just always think the same thing. And usually I'm right. You probably are harboring some type of a chronic, low-grade infection somewhere in your body. And so if I had to start giving you a list of choices on where that would be, I would say, let's look at the sinuses. If not there, I'm definitely going to look at the teeth. Maybe you have a crown. Maybe you have a tooth that's very sensitive. Maybe it's in the jaw. Then I would look at the tonsils next. From there, I usually go three locations. I go kidneys, intestines, or gallbladder. And so I would go through all the systems and find out where is this infection in the human body. But there is nothing that will beat down your immune system like a low-grade infection. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You think you have one?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I don't have any dental problems.
Well, let me ask you this then. If you have your blood test in front of you right now, and you're looking at it, and it says white blood cell count 3.6, what I want you to do is I want you to scroll down, literally, and I want you to look at what's called segmented neutrophils, or sometimes they're called SEGs for short. What is the number on your SEGs? Is it 65 or 66?
Well, I'm not seeing that, but there is another thing that's low, which is the platelet count. I don't know if that...
Yeah, but, I mean, ultimately, we're going to get back to what are called stem cells. Stem mm-hmm. cells in the thymus gland, they're weak right now. But I need you to look for the one called lymphocytes. You should see one called monocytes, eosinophils, basophils, lymphocytes.
No, I have some abbreviations here, like MCV, yeah. MCH.
Okay, what is your MCV? That's mean corpuscular volume.
It's 95.7.
Okay, that means you have a very significant B12 deficiency. Did you know that your bone marrow requires significant amounts of vitamin B12 in order to generate new white blood cells? And so you have, deep in your bone marrow, you have what are called stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
I know I sound like a broken record, but I always think about that verse in Leviticus. The life is in the blood. And so right now, you don't have enough life force in your blood because you're lacking probably folic acid, B6, and B12. And I'm not really that interested if your doctor's told you that or not. My obligation and loyalty is to you. And so if your mean corpuscular volume is at 95, that is a clear sign that you're very deficient in vitamin B12. Okay?
Okay.
So go down to the abbreviations. There's got to be one called lymphocyte. L-Y-M-N-E-U. It's got to be on there. It's just right below the mean corpuscular volume. Tell me what those numbers are.
Yeah, no, I'm not seeing it. Here it is. Absolute lymphocyte.
There we go. What does it say?
1177.
Okay, that's a percentage. Go up just a little bit where it says lymph, and it'll give you a number like 20, 25, 30, something like that. It's in between the MCV and the percentages. I know, because I've only looked at 1,000 of these this last week. It's kind of etched in my mind. Do you see one called monocytes? M-O-N-O. Mono.
Yes, I do, but it says absolute monocytes here, 479.
Okay, that's not the one that I'm looking for. Anyway, okay, even if I don't get to that, it doesn't matter. I think you have a chronic low-grade infection, whether you realize it or not. It's just a matter of what do we do about it. Number next.
Yeah, I just found the lymphocytes and the monocytes. There's like, 25 pages to this report.
So, oh, yeah. Well, what does it say about the lymphocytes? What's the number?
The lymphocytes there is 32.7.
Well, what is the one called SEGS, S-E-G-S?
Yeah, I'm still not seeing the...
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to waste people's time. Let me just kind of cut to the chase right here. Inside of your bone marrow, you have what are called pluripotential stem cells. Stem cells can make anything that your body wants, anything it needs for life. Your stem cells, that's the manufacturing facility. I'm going to kind of just make up a story here. If you're in Nevada in Area 51 and you need to make a stealth fighter, well, You're going to have a factory in there with a team of experts that can manufacture and put that thing together, and bam, you got a stealth fighter. Well, your stem cells, that's what makes all your platelets. That's what makes and constructs all your white blood cells and every other component. And so your stem cells, they are underperforming, and that's why I want to ask, what is the reason why? So let me just kind of break it down. If you had, like I mentioned earlier, either a low-grade bacterial infection or a low-grade viral infection, that was really all I was after by asking for those clues, because I felt like if I could take a look at it, I would have enough clues from your labs to point me in the right direction. Now, most likely, your doctor's already gone over this whole test with you with a fine-tooth comb and given you an exhaustive, definitive explanation of each one of them and what they mean as it relates to your health, right? Probably not.
Well, Not 28 pages.
If you don't have a low-grade infection, the other thing that I'm in reality over is most likely you're eating some particular food that just doesn't agree with you. Mm-hmm. And because these things are real, and let me just kind of make up a story here. What if you're eating, let's just say, dairy products, and for a variety of reasons, your immune system just kind of goes bonkers when you eat dairy? Well, if you do this long enough, well, guess what? Your immune system can just become all played out and exhausted and tired, nothing in reserve. And so under these circumstances, we've got to figure this out, because the only way that you're going to move forward and have radiant health is if we can get your white blood cell count up. Now, I realize there's some people that have chronic lymphocytic leukemias, and they have lymphomas, and they have other blood-borne cancers where their immune system is weak, and we just have to do the best we can to kind of build it up. So let me go into my second and third tier of thinking right here. The largest gland of your immune system is called the thymus gland, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your thymus gland is where all these white blood cells are trained to do their work. And so your thymus, it needs zinc. It needs vitamin C to be able to function properly. And so if I suggested strongly to you that zinc is the cornerstone of your immune system, well, obviously, I want you to buy into that, because you're thinking, well, my goodness, I can do something about that. I can go to the store today and get some zinc. Or you could start eating foods that are high in zinc, like seafood or red meat. You really get zinc from animal products, not so much from vegetables. And so maybe your call is, can I take some extra zinc and vitamin C today? Well, the answer is yes. See, when your mean corpuscular volume is at like 95.2, to me, you don't have to convince me at all. You have a very significant B vitamin deficiency. The question is, what are you going to do about it? You know, mm-hmm. where you get B vitamins? You get them from eating meat.
Okay.
Do you eat bread by chance?
No, don't. Very rarely.
And so there's got to be something that you're consuming. I mean, I've done this thousands and thousands of times. But when I examine a person, I'll ask the question, okay, is this food or that food generating inflammation? So if you're eating a food that's generating inflammation in your immune system, oh my goodness, it'll totally block the absorption of your nutrients. And so we have to figure that out, but that's doable. The other organ that to me is very, very intriguing and interesting is called the spleen. Your spleen, it holds a huge reserve of red blood cells and oxygen for you. And I've read so many stories in the past when somebody was in a severe accident or crisis and the bone marrow was crushed. Well, the spleen could kick it into high gear and start making blood. It's very, very unique. And so sometimes I'll give thymus and spleen extracts when you're trying to help the immune system to rise to the occasion. But we've got a challenge here. If your white blood cell count stays at 3.6, the likelihood of a health problem happening is much greater than if it was 7.5, as my example. And so we know that you need zinc. Sometimes I give people sesame seed oil because I think it helps.
Okay.
Well, there's got to be other clues in here. I just don't know what the clues are unless you tell me.
Right, and the doctor had recommended I see a hematologist. Which is that a blood doctor or?
Yeah, that is the resident expert of all things related to the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Well, I've listened to you quite often and respect, you know, a lot of what you say, and I agree with a lot of things you say. So I've never heard anyone ask about white blood cell count, and I thought, well, possibly there's a way I can bring this up since it's it seems to be been low for the last few tests I've gotten, which has been over the last let's see what this thing shows here about the last year.
Yeah, this is totally all in your best interests.
Mm-hmm.
Every good thing that you want to accomplish is going to hinge around improving your white blood cell count.
Okay.
So unless you give me more clues and details, I'm just like chomping at the bit here to know more details. But unless you can tell me, I can guess all day long.
Right. Okay. Well, let me take a look in here a little further. I appreciate the information.
All right. Listen, have a good day, man.
Maybe I'll reach out to you and set up an appointment. So
okay, thank you very much. Have a
thank
great
you
day.
So soon. Much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
I know I'm trying to oversimplify this, but if you have an issue, it's so much better to be very curious about it. What can I do to help myself? Good morning. Welcome to the program. You've got about 2 minutes.
Just a quick question, Dr. Morgan. Sure. I listen to you quite often. I have a problem with soy, so that is the D3. Give me something I can eat to get that kind of vitamin.
Okay.
Please,
you'll have to turn down your radio, but the only source of the only source of D3 in nature is really going to come from cod liver oil.
Okay.
So if you get cod liver oil that's relatively and the type of cod liver oil that I've kind of settled on is one where they use like a light clay medium to filter it, so they preserve the vitamin D3. I like that. You can overfilter it and suck all the nutrients out of it. So cod liver oil is like a superfood, so you could do that.
Okay.
The other thing that I want to pose to you or propose is you can get vitamin D3 that's made from what's called yeast fermentation. There's no soybean at all. So uh-huh. if you just get vitamin D3 from a yeast fermentation source, then you're good.
Okay. At the health food store or where?
Yeah. Either that or the internet.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope you have a great day and have a great weekend, ma'am.
You too. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
That's so sweet. Thank you very much, ma'am. Yeah, you can get vitamin D3 that's made from sheep, or it's made from soybeans, or yeast fermentation. Now, in my own experimentation, which I know you don't know this, but pretty much everybody that walks in my door is my walking, talking guinea pig. I get to experiment on them. Uh-oh. I just told people my secret, rats. But no, I get to find out in the real world what works the best. And vitamin D3 is so critical. There's so many things you can take care of if you just have it. Isn't it worth it just to feel good? To have your hormones in better balance? Well, the answer is yes. It's everything that you want. Because if you feel good, everything in life starts working much better, right? And plus, who wants to be sick? Nobody. Well, I have certainly enjoyed every bit of being with you today. Lord willing, I'll be back this next Saturday morning at 7 o'clock for Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan.